Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. If you're looking for some wrestling today, don't forget there's Test of Strength Wrestling in Hartford, Connecticut, POW in Franklin Park, Illinois, GPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, MPG in Indianapolis, Indiana. You have WTF in Indianapolis as well, PTW in Paris, Kentucky, Heavy On Wrestling in Duluth, Minnesota, Creative Pro in Hicks, New York, and NAWA in Morgan, North Carolina, BOW in San Antonio, Texas. And then also tonight you have, as usual, 7611 North Exeter in Portland, Blue Collar Wrestling, where you can find me later today. We would also like to announce, if you missed it on our social media and if you missed it on the Sign of the Times, we have made our selection for the 2019 Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame. Princess Victoria is our brand new inductee. She'll be joining our other Hall of Fame members. So congratulations to Princess Victoria. Without further ado, though, I want to welcome back to the show our guest today, Tommy Jack McGee. Welcome back.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Doing very well today. Now, Tommy Jack, when you were with us last, you were doing very well, but I know in the last few months here, it's been kind of a trying time. You're just getting back into the ring after a little bit of a layoff. Do you want to tell the fans what's been going on recently?
Well, I mean, yeah, I certainly can. It's wrestling is a tough thing at times, and, you know, basically, what happened with me is last April, I had messed up my neck and upper back in a wrestling match, and I probably should have taken some time off then to heal up, and of course, I didn't. I kept going, and eventually what happened to me is last December, was in a match with a guy, a fella by the name of Drew, and he really messed me up real bad, so I had to take some time off to help heal the neck, help heal the back, and really crush my spirits. He was a tough opponent, and he really crushed my spirits and made it that difficult. I didn't know if I wanted to step back into the ring, didn't know if I was going to be able to, didn't know if I could compete as well. And then Rob Royale came along and picked me up. He encouraged me. Got me on a new workout regimen and diet. Now I'm back. Was able to come back a few weeks ago and do rather well. Got to.
When you're coming back from a neck injury, a lot of people have to really rehab and they have to change a lot of things that they previously did in order to protect that neck. Was there any type of things that you had to do as far as changing your workouts, changing the way that you wrestle, maybe even the diet in order to make sure that the neck was good to go?
Absolutely. I mean, you got workouts that you need to do in order to not only strengthen that neck. I do, as I mentioned last time when I was with y'all, I already did some yoga. I really needed to do more concentration on the neck and the upper back. And I had to do workouts to help strengthen that neck as well. So that's one thing that you do. The diet, I had to change my diet considerably. Even though I wasn't in bad shape, I wanted to make sure that I had a little bit more leanness there. Change your diet. You should always keep in shape anyway. I don't understand a lot of these wrestlers that go out there and just eat a few hamburgers and all that. I understand it. I like hamburgers myself, but you got to make sure that you keep your body together, especially if you've had an injury like that. But, you know, you got the workout, you got the diet. A lot of that, too, a lot of people don't take a lot of credibility into changing your wrestling style. And I've changed a bit of mine. And fans that come out to the shows can expect to see the same old Tommy Jack McGee in a whole new different way. Still got, you know, what is real strong in the wrestling ring, I'm still going to keep. What I was good at before, keep going with. Make it better. And be able to introduce new moves, a new style when necessary, so that you can go ahead and be able to compete with any type of style and be able to be on a high-performance level. So those have been things that Rob really increased on me. Rob's got a great workout regimen himself, so I was able to adopt quite a bit of that. And let's not undermine the need for encouragement of each other in this business. You know, if you're going to work hard and you're going to be able to diet and you're going to take care of your body through the weights and physical regimen, the encouragement from one another is just important as well. It's great to me. I've gotten encouragement not just from Rob Royale, but Chris Calliver and Chris Silvio. Reached out through him, and just great guys in the wrestling business who've given me the thumbs up, pat on the back, and an attaboy here and there.
Chris Calliver is somebody I've known since he started in this business when he was very, very young. So I know that
right. He's
a great person to have helping you make a comeback. When you get in there and you're working with guys that have been around for a long time, like a Calliver or a Chris Silvio or an Eric Gavin, like all these guys that have been around for many, many years, what's it like wrestling them as opposed to wrestling someone that's got the same experience level that you do or perhaps even less experience?
Well, Arn Anderson stated it best when he said, in order to get better, you got to wrestle the guys who are better. And Eric Draven, another name you mentioned that is just great. Is it tough? Yeah, it's tough. You got different styles in all these guys. It's tough, but I love it because, you know, you got to push yourself to come out of an injury. And when you get out of that injury, you got to push yourself to get back to where you were before. And then when you're taking a look at wrestling guys like Eric Draven, or wrestling with Chris Calliver, you know, they push you. They push you. And you either stay up to their level, or you plan to go right back down that ladder. And I don't ever plan on continually climbing down the ladder. I've worked hard to get on the ladder to begin with, and I'm going to work just as hard, if not harder, to keep climbing that ladder. I appreciate the veterans in the business, all those that encourage, as well as all those you've got to wrestle against, because they're the ones that help keep me stepping up that game. You don't go to the ladder and think that you're going to have two people stand on that same rung of the ladder. There's no room for it. Either somebody's going to stay down or you got to knock somebody down the rung. But no two people can stay on that same rung. And those guys who've done that, who've got the experience, the knowledge, and the work ethics and all that, those are the guys that you want to be able to compete with. And when you take a look at it, man, when you're wrestling with them, just like Arn Anderson said, it will make you better.
Well, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers do to better themselves in this day and age of wrestling are seminars. A lot of veteran wrestlers will conduct seminars before, sometimes after shows, and they try to pass along their knowledge. Some of it is in-ring type of thing. Some of them are more of a just a verbal teaching as far as what the veterans can help with on a given show. I know you've attended some seminars. What's the seminar scene like in your area? Who are some of the people that have done seminars that has really helped you grow as a wrestler?
Well, I mean, if you go just by this year so far, we're in February, just this year, you know, Chris Silvio's have had a webinar, took that, Rip Rogers seminar, took that, got Chris Silvio seminar coming up, I'll be there, you know, and those are great learning tools, but you got guys like Eric Draven, right, who will work, and Eric Draven, getting in the ring with him, wrestling with him, or sitting down and listening to him, and you know, a lot of guys, I see young guys in locker rooms nowadays, man, I don't know what in the world is going on, because young fellas, listen up. When you get into a locker room, there is a wealth of knowledge just walking into that same locker room. Sit down. Ask if you can get them a water. Sit down and talk to them, or just shut up and listen. The wealth of knowledge that they can pass and that you can gain just by listening to these guys is unbelievable. It is fascinating to sit down, and I call it a blessing to be able to sit down and just listen to these guys. And Eric Draven sitting there showing me something a little bit different. Rob Royale showing me, talking to me, pulling me aside, saying, hey, look, try this. These things are blessings that will go a long way, and you're absolutely right. The seminars nowadays, you know, not everybody's meant to be a teacher. Probably guys are better at it than others. But when you step into those seminars, learn everything you can, every little bit, whether it's you sitting there just listening to them talk psychology, which seems to be something that a lot of guys are missing nowadays. Thank God for the coaches and for the trainers who will sit down and discuss why we need to do what we do when we need to do it. Because, look, if you're just able to go out there and learn a few moves, but you can't figure out how to put that together, man, what are you doing? This is something that is important, and you can gain a wealth of knowledge through those seminars and sitting there listening to these veterans. I'm appreciative of the seminars. I plan on going to at least 10 seminars this year. It's February. I've hit 2. I think I'm on a roll. I think we're going to get that goal for sure.
Sounds like you're off to a good start. On occasion, I also run seminars, so perhaps if we're in the same area at the same time, you'll get to hit one of mine.
Absolutely. You just send me the information. I'll gladly attend.
And one of the things that also makes a wrestler better is not only wrestling people that are better than him or more experienced, but also branching out, hitting new companies.
Mm-hmm.
And when you travel, you get to see different fans, so you have to figure out what they want, what they don't want. You have different opponents, so things are fresher. What are some of the companies out there that would be new for you that you most want to try to visit?
Well, you know, just 4PW started last month out of Scottsburg, Indiana. I traveled there, was in that first show. I'm going to get back there. They're bringing in some different guys and some guys I haven't worked with, guys I don't work with very often or see very often. But got some groups down there in Jeffersonville that have reached out to me. I will be down at EWE in March. So those groups are a couple of them in the area. I've been to Indianapolis and wrestled there. That's always interesting. But I'm looking. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right in branching out and reaching out. I've been talking with guys about getting a truckload together and going down there to Alabama, reaching out towards promoters there, and reaching out to a promoter in San Antonio, Texas, and, of course, over there in the Oregon and Seattle area as well. This and that is crucial. I'm glad you brought that point up. You know, you go into different areas. I remember as a youngin, was sitting down there in Dallas and in Fort Worth, and you watched WCCW. And Texas wrestlers work a certain way. There's a certain style, and I mean, of course, there's different guys and different styles. But, you know, there's a certain aspect, a certain culture, wrestling culture in that area. And then you take a look at some old Memphis stuff, and there's similarities for sure. But there's also differences in that. And then you go more east, you know, you take a look at some of the stuff coming from the northeast. That was totally different. And these pockets produce a little bit different of an atmosphere that I think is absolutely crucial to get out and develop experience. Sometimes it costs a deal of money. But if you want to be great and you want to be known, you've got to do that. That's something that's just got to buck up and do. So, you know, to me, it has helped me even in this area to do that. But also to be branching out. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Illinois and Ohio, another a few states getting into Kentucky as well, Tennessee. Now, I could keep going on, but I think you get the idea. Keep focusing, keep developing, and keep growing.
Now, on the subject of all these new companies, whenever a wrestler travels and he's going to new places that he's not experienced before, sometimes shows seem a little odder than other shows that they're accustomed to, be it because there's a new style, because of the way the show is formatted is different from what they're used to, or because the crowd reactions are different than what they're accustomed to. Everyone has one of those, that was the oddest show I've ever done moments. So far to date, you don't have to name specific people or places if you're not comfortable, but what would you say has been the oddest show for you so far?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you. Probably for me, personally, and there are shows that, you know, it's a little bit different, but I would say even though the crowd reaction for me wasn't bad, the oddest show I had is the same one that Tommy Dreamer mentioned about on the Edge of Christian podcast, and that was last Thanksgiving in Indianapolis. And Tommy Dreamer, Shane Douglas, and Sandman were there. And, you know, Shane Douglas had to had a real tough match in that he got a little fuel under his fire and carried some business in the ring. But I think that for me, that was possibly the oddest reaction and show that I had, because every single match was done in a cage, which I've never done a show where every single match was in a cage. And I understand the concept, but to me, it kind of took away the importance of the cage. I don't mind cage matches. I like them. I enjoy the physical style, and I can keep up with it regardless who's in that ring. But that being said, I believe that cage matches and other things of that nature should have a great deal of meaning. And if you go ahead and you have every single match be some sort of match where there's a stipulation, then that really kind of takes the power out of that. And I like cage matches, but I didn't get that show. I didn't understand it. Some of it at the same time was just some things that happened there, you know. For instance, in the match I was in, there was a big guy eliminated. He comes out of the cage, and the stairs going up to the ring broke while he was stepping on them. I didn't know this. Some dude shoves me into the cage, and they were trying to fix the stairs right there, and I see the cage swing out from the ring. And blows the door right open. The door almost catches the poor kid in the head. I didn't understand why we needed to cage all the time. I understand it takes time to put one up and take it down, but I didn't understand how it was necessary. And us, you know, things like that. But it was really odd. I like working on Thanksgiving. I love going to new places, and I even love cage matches. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining or fussing or nothing like that, but I just did not understand that, and I think it took away from the matches towards the end. But, you know, that stated, when you go into a promotion, you're going to do business as you need to, and that was how it needed to be done that day. But I think that all the matches in the cage really affected the crowd and all of that. But and the show itself wasn't bad, but I just did not understand that aspect. And you have fans some places that you go easy to. You know, they easily cheer for you. And then other places, it's like, okay, I'm not certain how to read you because you're pretty quiet and you're more into the technical aspect of it, which is great and fine. I enjoy technical wrestling too. I'm not really huge on that. It's not a big forefront of mine. I can do that. But, then there's some crowds that they're just quiet regardless. And I don't know. It's just different in different areas. But you need to be able, as a wrestler, you need to be able to read to the crowd. You need to be able to get the crowd behind you. If you're a good guy, you know, if you're a bad guy, of course you don't care about the crowd. I do. I want the fans to enjoy themselves. I want them to enjoy good wrestling, and I want them to respond. See, I've got to learn how to read them. But there are places that it's a bit odd, and there are shows that it's a bit difficult.
Well, at this point in time, Q2 Vokes is standing by, and I know QT is going to have some questions as well. So, Thez, help you as I pass things over to QT.
All right, sign guy. QT, what you got for me, buddy?
Oh, hello, Tommy. Yes. Sign guy and myself were both present in action. Well, not in action, but sign guy was referee last night in Tacoma. Yes. And he seemed to have suffered a slight back injury as he was thrown a little awkwardly. So both
right.
You and Sign Guy will have. I think Sign Guy will have to train himself in the coming months and maybe start doing a little bit of yoga to overcome this back injury. Yes.
Absolutely. That helps.
Yes.
God for DDP yoga.
DDP yoga, yes. Now, for some of our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who are listening and might not know what DDP yoga is, could you take us through a brief description?
Absolutely. Of course, DDP stands for Diamond Dallas Page, who was a wrestler, former WCW heavyweight champion. He came out of business. He was developing this yoga program that does not only the stretching, which is necessary to help heal muscles and tendons and ligaments, all those good things. So, but it's also good for conditioning your body. We take a lot of abuse in the ring, and there's lots of things that happen. You know, the back is full of these vertebrae, sometimes slip. This strengthening and conditioning, as well as stretching, helps not only muscles and all that, but helps the muscles to bring those vertebrae. Sorry, guys, it's the second day I've had this now. It helps those muscles bring that vertebrae back into alignment, which helps everything. You know, it's tough enough when you get a muscle pull, but when you get something pulled out of whack or something stretched too far because you haven't stretched and haven't warmed up, then it really can be a hindrance to how you wrestle.
Yes, the back, specifically the lower back, is always subject to injuries. You know, some of those rings are pretty hard, you know. And when you get an injury in the lower back, you tend to overcompensate on other areas and avoid the spot you're injured. Yoga seems to tend to increase blood flow to that injury that you're avoiding.
What it does is it takes those muscles and it stretches them out. That helps the blood flow, which blood carries oxygen into that muscle, which increases your opportunity and increases or decreases the amount of time for healing. So if you have more oxygen going into those muscles, you're helping to those muscles to actually get the nutrients to help limit your physical disability.
Yes. You also have to keep weight off the stomach area because an overweight person, a fat stomach, also puts a lot of strain on the lower back. That's when you want to sometimes take aside those wrestlers that are eating all those hamburgers and tell them to eat a turkey burger or elk burger that you were speaking about. Yes.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that it's important. A lot of guys, it's not. Do your best to take care of your body. You've got one body, you know. This business is stressful on every single part of the body, the neck and upper back, which I've hurt. As you mentioned, the lower back, the knees, it's tough on the knees. The more weight you have, the rougher it is on your knees, not to mention your core is important for your alignment. We can go on and on. We can talk about the heart. We can talk about breathing for the lungs. You know, we can go on and on. But here, the long story short, you got one body. Something's going bad on it. You can't just replace your body. I mean, I guess you could if you go out there and have artificial knees and hips and all that. But why go ahead and do that and really have a long time getting back into the ring? It seems to me that it's just easier to take care of your body and be able to continue in the ring.
Yes. Now, there have been rapid advances in stem cell therapy. Do you yourself in the future might have to resort to stem cell therapy? And have you heard of any ex-wrestlers that have had stem cell therapy for their hips or knee joints?
Well, first of all, I hope I don't have to resort to stem cell therapy simply because I hope that I can stay strong and all that. But that being said, you know, this is not ballet. We don't go out there in tutus. It just, well, I guess maybe some guys do, but I don't. And I hope that I can steer away from that. As far as other wrestlers taking stem cell research, I haven't heard of that. I'm not saying that there isn't any. I just personally don't know of any.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Tommy, did you ever have a chance to meet Hall of Famer Pedro Morales before he passed away?
No, I did not personally meet him. I saw numerous of his matches, you know, back in, the 80s especially. And I get to watch, I used to be able to watch old clips with my dad. And got to see him on TV numerous times. Pedro Morales had numerous championships. If the folks haven't seen that, WWA, NWA, just all over the place. And, man, we lost a legend in the business again. It seems to be a rough past couple of years for that. I'm certain he will be sorely missed.
That's true. It seems that they come in bunches when they pass away to that wrestling ring in the sky, like Roddy Piper.
Yes, and I've actually talked with Colt, Piper's son, but Piper was a big one that was lost. And, you know, to me personally, one of the guys that I enjoyed seeing was George the Animal Steel, too. He's gone, and you got just a ton of wrestlers last year. And, you know, I get to talk with the guys who have who were able to wrestle with some guys like Ray Traylor, you know, Big Boss Man, talked to me about what they thought of him and what a guy he was. And, it's sad because a lot of times what people don't realize is that guys that have gone to seminars or teachings or sat underneath the tutelage of many of these guys that have since passed, this pass on is continually passed on, and when they go, it's kind of like, you know, that's just a bit of you out there. It's a part of you that's now no longer around, and it's tough because what they left in the ring, they left in the ring, and you don't have that now. It's kind of difficult to describe, but there's a since at least for me, a sincere hurt that occurs, a sincere loss. And I personally did not know Pedro. I feel for the people that did. And, man, all the things that he did in this business. And let's keep in mind that he did it in a time where there weren't, in this country, there weren't a whole lot of people with Hispanic-sounded names doing what he did. And I think that we need to learn and appreciate that. Just like, just like various guys that have passed on of different backgrounds, different races. We need to appreciate that down for us. Wrestling has always, this is such an important point. Wrestling has always broken the stereotypical molds and the stereotypical perceptions that the culture, that the world has placed on it. Wrestling was desegregated before communities were desegregated. That's an important point. You want to talk about all this diversity and inclusion, that's great. I appreciate diversity and inclusion, but if you want to take a look at a role model of diversity and inclusion, take a look at professional wrestling. Anybody here at Bobo Brazil?
Oh, yes.
I mean, that guy was wrestling in Texas. Well, what about Iceman King Parsons, Junkyard Dog? Pedro Morales was contributing to this great sport and did much, much when there weren't very many Hispanic sounding names doing it. We are appreciative, and we should remember. If we don't remember the championships and we don't remember the TV time, we should be appreciative and remember what he contributed to this business in a time when not a whole lot of Hispanic-sounding names were known.
Yeah, the only other ones, one that, or at least one that jumps to mind, is the Guerreros. Yes.
That's correct. Out of El Paso, Texas. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, they made about as much as impact as Mildred Burke did when way back in the 50s, she went to Japan, and a lot of the women over there in Japan had never seen a woman wrestler in the ring, and they were astonished when she would actually hit back against a man and beat a man. That was culture-changing.
Right.
Yes, that was like
Absolutely.
A Woodstock wrestling. Yes, okay.
Well, I mean, that points out what I stated, is that if you want a change in culture, you have to consider professional wrestling. I don't see how anybody with a sense of with an ideology of any sort of logic can say otherwise. Say what you want to. Maybe it ain't your thing, but if you're taking a look at it, the fact of the matter is you want to look at change and culture shock. Look at professional wrestling. They were the leader in so many different ways. You should appreciate that. If not for the sport that it is, appreciate it for what it's done to culture.
Well, I agree with that, yes. Very good. Very well said. All right. Well, Tommy, were you ever at a seminar where Jerry the King Lawler was present?
Oh. No, but you mentioned the name Jerry the King Lawler, and I'll tell you what, May 11th, Hanover, Indiana, Jerry the King Lawler is going to be there, y'all. And I'm on that card.
Ooh.
I have not sat. Absolutely 100% him and Doug Gilbert, both of them will be there. Hanover, Indiana, May 11th. Look, folks, circle that date. Write it down. Take a vacation. Take a road trip. Crap, get a plane. I don't care if you got to get one of them hydroplane things there and blow the sails yourself. You're going to want to be in Hanover, Indiana. Jerry the King Lawler will be there. And, again, you know, I mentioned when Sign Guy was up there and he was asking some questions. I said, listen, young uns. When you come into the locker room, sit down. Just be quiet and listen to these guys. Just listen to them talk. They can give you a wealth of knowledge. Have I personally been to a seminar of Jerry the King Lawler's? But listen, no, I haven't. But listen, I'm going to be in that locker room, and my mouth is going to be shut, and my ears are going to be open because I'm going to learn every single thing I can from the King Lawler.
Well, you see, that's where I probably wouldn't myself. Personally, I wouldn't do too good at seminars because I'm always carrying a notebook and writing furiously about the action I see in the ring. And sometimes I get my notes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
You know, you brought up a good point right there. I put into practice when I first got in the ring, and I'll tell you, here's another bit of free knowledge, right? If you're a young wrestler, well, crap, if you're an older wrestler, if you just think about wrestling, if all you do is watch wrestling, listen to this. I encourage people to have a wrestling journal. I personally have a wrestling journal. You put that in that journal, I put the date, who I wrestled and where it's at. I put things that I thought I did well, things I need to work on. And I do that every single match. And then I will often request to view that match myself. and I'll put it over there where I could have done something different, what I could have done better, where I need to improve. So you always write down the date, who it is, your strengths, and your weaknesses. And then I put a fifth category, how am I going to improve? So, you know, you can go through the seminars, you can continue with your trainings and your workouts and all that. That wrestling journal is another way, just another tool in your tool belt to get better at the wrestling business here.
Wow, well, that's I think that's very important as a reference. I hope that journal has helped you. We at Turnbuckle Turmoil don't quite have that. We have an official autograph book. Now, Sangai, in travels to the Midwest and East or wherever he may land, even in Idaho, he carries this autograph book, and we hope to get Tommy Jack McGee's autograph in this book. Yes, someday.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, Tommy, you spoke to Sangai earlier that as a wrestler, you have to be able to read the crowd. How do you think Andy Kaufman would have done in Puerto Rico as compared to Japan? Do you think Andy Kaufman would have been a big splash in Japan?
Well, I tell you what, I read Terry Funk's book, and I've listened to some guys who've been in Puerto Rico. Oh, I've taken a seminar from Flash Flanagan, who's also been in Puerto Rico a few times. But, you know, back in the time that Andy Kaufman was around, it was around the same time that guys like Terry, Bruiser Brody, Sheik, Slater, Dick Slater, those guys were there. And that was a tough crowd, especially if you were a heel. You know, the main from Terry Funk's book is you take two beer bottles, one to throw and one to hit. But I don't know, man. You know, that from what I read, that would be a very, very tough crowd. And my understanding is that they love wrestling, or at least they loved wrestling there. Andy Kaufman, though a comedian, I believe that he probably would have been laughed, if not booed, out of the building. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, it didn't really happen that I saw. But I don't know. You know, wrestling can be finicky.
Yes.
I don't think he'd want to wrestle Lawler there, I don't think. But, you know, maybe you would, but I'm not certain how he'd do in Puerto Rico. If they really love their wrestling as much as they seem to, you know, he might have a tough time.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay. Well, we can speculate there. I would hope that he would do good, especially if he wrestled a lady wrestler. Well, that might add fuel to the fire. That's okay.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that might be some people's thing, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't recommend it.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Tommy, a new treatment is now being used on patients with Asperger's and autism. Physicians are now using virtual reality to introduce these patients with Asperger's and autism to mild stressful situations and then ever-increasing stressful situations as a means of building up their ability to handle everyday life. My question is, hasn't any wrestler in your area used a virtual reality technique to throw off their opponent?
Not that I know of. I mean, I think that wrestling itself can be stressful enough, but I don't know of anybody that personally does. I think that the best way to get better and or to throw off your person is through psychology. You know, you got good ring psychology, but you got to be able to understand and mess with the mind a little bit too I don't, you know, I've got a lot of great veteran wrestlers that have tried to do that, and sometimes they achieve it with me, but very often. But in terms of the virtual reality, I don't know. I haven't heard of anybody using that.
Oh, okay. I just think it would be great if a wrestler was being outmatched and out of, and toward the end of the match, when his strength was ebbing, he would suddenly whip out these virtual reality glasses, throw them on the opponent, and suddenly throw his opponent off his game plan.
Well, it'd be interesting, but the referee'd probably see it as a foreign object. So, you know, he don't know if it would be allowed anyway.
Well, we can only hope that Sign Guy is involved fairly soon, where virtual reality will suddenly make an appearance. I'd like to see how Sign Guy would react to that. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, Tommy, Carrot Top is probably the best-known prop comic in the United States. He has had several TV appearances and had an appearance on the Gene Simmons roast. My question is, best of my knowledge, no indie wrestler has contacted Carrot Top and asked him to use one of his props as a foreign object. Will you step up and be one of the first wrestlers to contact Carrot Top to use one of his props?
No. No, I don't need props.
Oh, okay.
You know, beat them fair and square.
Oh, okay. All right, no props from Carrot Top. Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Tommy, the subject of ghosts and hauntings have been covered in songs by rock groups throughout the years, such as Born as Ghosts by Rage Against the Machine, Ghost Riders in the Sky, sung by Johnny Cash and written by Stan Jones, There is a Strange Apparition by Beck, and The Ghosts of Cape Horn by Gordon Lightfoot. My question is, hopefully years from now, do you believe some people will see the ghost of Tommy Jack McGee at ringside in his favorite wrestling venues?
Well, if they do, they'd better run, because if I had a ghost show up, I'm there for a reason. And it probably ain't good. So there probably are a few people that get a few receipts back from me that I wasn't able to put out there to begin with. So if that ghost shows up, they probably best just run. I plan on continue wrestling as long as I possibly can. And, you know, this is a business that I hope to die in. But I don't know if I'm going to be around after that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tommy, speaking of that, do you believe somewhere in the United States or Europe, for that matter, say in the Carpathian Mountains, that if you listen closely in any abandoned wrestling halls, that you can hear the ghostly chime of a wrestling bell ringer who is being forced by a ghost to take back the ringing of a bell by a spirit whom believes that the referee made a too quick of a three count and called for a bell between him or her? Do you think there's any ghostly chimes of bell ringers?
Boy, I don't know. You know, to me, the ones that matter are the ones at the end of the matches that I'm in. You know, I'm more concerned with what happens during those matches and what happens afterwards. You know, the thing is that a lot of times when that bell rings, this ain't like football, you know. It ain't like all these other sports where there's a recall or whatever, a replay, that's what they call. You know, the referee cannot go to a camera and put on a headset and talk to somebody sitting somewhere else and ask for different shots or views or anything like that. He has to call what he sees. And, that's it. When it's done, it's done. So the thing is how you do it. I can't really fault referees at all, and I'm more concerned with how the bell sounds in the match I'm in.
Wow, well said. Okay. All right, very good. All right. Well, Tommy, there were a documented 35 double survivors of the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombs. This means several people survived the bombing of Hiroshima on August 6, only to travel by land or train to Nagasaki and experience an atomic bomb again on August 9th. In hindsight, wouldn't it have been great if a wrestling promoter in the 50s or 60s or beyond had booked one of these survivors to be an honorary bell ringer? I think that would have been great.
So the question is, in the 50s or 60s, would it have been an honor to have one of those survivors as a bell ringer?
Oh, no, I know it would have been an honor. I'm just saying I wish it would have happened. To my knowledge, it didn't.
Yes. Sure. I mean, what happened there in World War II, and keep in mind I've got family that served this country in World War II, and I had family that were right there on Pearl Harbor when it was attacked. What happened then was a travesty in terms of the attack on Pearl Harbor. The president at the time made a decision to at least in that show of force that would at least end Japan's involvement in there. Keep in mind, we weren't involved in World War II until that attack on Pearl Harbor. And so, you know, the president made the decision to show a force that would end at least Japan's involvement in that. And it, by that being done, we got involved in World War II even further. But, you know, I think that the relationship in the 60s and 70s between Japanese and this country in the wrestling business had been well put together. You know, you had Antonio Inoki, Giant Baba, both running successful promotions there in Japan, and both of them were using American wrestlers, Stan Hansen, Bruce and Brody, the Von Erichs, numerous guys going over there to Japan, late 70s, early 80s. You had Hulk Hogan, numerous guys. I think that it would have been nice for – here's the thing. I not only think that it would have been nice to have a bell ringer or timekeeper there, but why not here too? They had extended the hand, and we did too, utilizing wrestlers. Again, professional wrestling had – advanced itself beyond what the culture was. You got to keep in mind that in the 60s and 70s, there were still many people in this country that displayed a great deal of prejudice to Japanese or any Oriental individuals, but yet professional wrestling used them significantly. And I think that it would have been great to have a timekeeper, bell ringer to be used both over there and here for a promotion.
Yes, there was a wrestler out here that got his start in the 60s and early 70s in Portland wrestling, Haru Sasaki. He still got a lot of heat from the fans.
Yes,
Haru.
Absolutely. Well, and see, back then, too, not long after that attack, some of the Japanese wrestlers that came over here it took a while for them to be warmed up here, but sometimes they were considered as betraying to a certain extent their country. Now, it wasn't what they were intending to do or sound or anything like that. It was just business as usual. But after a while, you know, here's a guy, the great Kabuki, numerous times great wrestler. Just a wonderful, wonderful to watch. He finally went back to Japan. He retired, I believe it was December 2017, as I recall. But, you know, some of these guys that had left over there, and they were kind of shunned for a bit there, but I think that they were able to go back, and they were able to have restore that relationship. But it had to be difficult for a bit of time in this country as well, because, you know, historically, we need to remember that there were places set apart in our country that housed, unwillingly housed, some Japanese folks. We kind of want to keep that quiet, but there was housing there in, at a spot in Idaho where they were living as a community because we didn't want them in general population. They didn't personally do anything wrong, but because of their ethnicity, we kept them there. So, you know, we too had a aspect of that. What's that?
The internment camps, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. We too had some things that we needed to overcome. But once again, professional wrestling led the culture. We were using them in prominent roles. And that was great, I believe, for our culture in general. Professional wrestling led the roles and included them as part of the wrestling community. And I believe that that helped with the stigmas and the healing that we needed to go through as a culture ourselves.
Well,
guys, we have a few minutes left on the show, and Tommy Jack, I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say today, plug and promote anything and everything you got, the upcoming appearances, social media, merchandise, your favorite video game, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right, I'll tell you what. In terms of social media, you can find me on Facebook, Tommy Jack McGee. I've also got Instagram, same name. Why? Because that's my name, Tommy Jack McGee. Reach out to me, Facebook and Instagram, I'll be there. You're in Madison, Indiana, or the surrounding area, this Friday, I will be wrestling for Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana, and stay in that area because I'll be there Saturday too, wrestling again, 2520 Lanier Drive in March, Jeffersonville, Indiana. And y'all can keep track of this on my Facebook page as well. I'll be there. I'll see y'all there. And let's see, we got other stuff going on. I know. Oh, May 11th, circle the date, plan the trip. Get your hotel room. Sleep with a friend. Sleep in your car. I don't care. You're gonna want to be there to see Jerry the King Lawler live wrestling in real time. However you want to say it, but he'll be in Hanover, Indiana, May 11th this year, y'all. Merchandise, you can check that out. I've got it going on at Facebook. You send me a message, I'll get back to you, and we'll keep it going that way.
Well, Tommy Jack, as usual, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. So I want to thank you once again for taking the time today to be with us. I'm sure our paths will cross at some point in the next few months. Fans, if you get the chance, definitely go out there, support Tommy Jack and what he does. Fantastic young wrestler. You should definitely go out of your way to watch him if you get the opportunity. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll have Zoe Sky, the former Angel Dust, with us. And 1 week from today, all the way from Alaska, MK2 will be our guest in a week. So make sure you have plans to join us. And as mentioned earlier in the program, Pedro Morales, the first ever WWF Triple Crown winner, passed away earlier this week. He was a big star in many, many wrestling promotions all over the world. And so with his passing, we will honor him with our 10-bell salute.